Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayat Nashta Prayasva Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So as was announced earlier, this morning's text, and by the way, good morning to everybody in the call. This morning's text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, chapter 22, text 24. Ahimsaya paramahamsya charyaya smritya mukunda charita gya siduna yame akame niyamaschapya nindaya nirihaya dvanda titikshaya cha. Word for word translation. Ahimsaya, by non-violence, paramahamsya charyaya, by following in the footsteps of great acharyas, smritya, by remembering, mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acharita agriya, simply preaching his activities, siduna, by the nectar, yamai, by following regulative principles, akame, without material desires, niyame, by strictly following rules and regulations, cha, also, api, certainly, anindaya, without blaspheming, nirihaya, living simply, plain living, dvandva, duality, titikshaya, by tolerance, cha, and. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A candidate for spiritual advancement must be nonviolent, must follow in the footsteps of great acharyas, must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must follow the regulative principles without material desire, and while following the regulative principles, should not blaspheme others. A devotee should lead a very simple life and not be disturbed by the duality of opposing elements. He should learn to tolerate them. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The devotees are actually saintly persons or sadhus. The first qualification of a sadhu or devotee is ahimsa or nonviolence. Persons interested in the path of devotional service or in going back home, back to Godhead, must first practice ahimsa or nonviolence. A sadhu is described as titikshava karunika. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, chapter 25, text 21. A devotee should be tolerant and should be very much compassionate towards others. For example, if he suffers personal injury, he should tolerate it. But if someone else suffers injury, the devotee need not tolerate it. The whole world is full of violence, and a devotee's first business is to stop this violence, including the unnecessary slaughter of animals. A devotee is the friend not only of human society, but of all living entities, for he sees all living entities as sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not claim himself to be the only son of God and allow all others to be killed, thinking that they have no soul. This kind of philosophy is never advocated by a pure devotee of a Lord. Shruhida Shavadehinam. A true devotee is the friend of all living entities. Krishna claims in Bhagavad Gita to be the father of all species of living entities. Consequently, the devotee of Krishna is always a friend to all. This is called ahimsa. Such non-violence can be practiced only when we follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. Therefore, according to our Vaishnava philosophy, we have to follow the great acharyas of the four sampradayas, or disciplic successions. Trying to advance in spiritual life outside the disciplic succession is simply ludicrous. It is said, therefore, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, one who follows the disciplic succession of acharyas knows things as they are. Chandogya Upanishad 6:14-2. Tad vijnanatam sagrum eva bigachet. Mukund Upanishad 1:2 and 12. In order to understand the transcendental science, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. The word smritya is very important in spiritual life. Smritya means remembering Krishna always. Life should be molded in such a way that one cannot remain alone without thinking of Krishna. We should live in Krishna so that while eating, sleeping, walking, and working, we remain only in Krishna. Our Krishna Consciousness Society recommends that we arrange our living so that we can remember Krishna. In our ISKCON Society, the devotees, while engaged in making spiritual sky incense, are also hearing about the glories of Krishna or his devotees. The Shastra recommends Smartavya Satatam Vishnuhu. Lord Vishnu should be remembered always, constantly. Vismartavyo Na Jatichit. Vishnu should never be forgotten. That is the spiritual way of life, Smritya. This remembrance of the Lord can be continued if we hear about him constantly. Very important. Excuse me, there's one person that needs to mute their phone, please. Star 6.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Kindly everyone mute. And otherwise we will be centrally muting from our side and sometimes we forget to unmute. So kindly please mute, that's our first preference. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, okay. So this remembrance of the Lord can be continued if we hear about him constantly. It is therefore recommended in this verse, Mukunda Charita Kriya Siduna. Sidhu means nectar. To hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or similar authentic literature is to live in Krishna consciousness. Such concentration in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by persons who are strictly following the rules and regulative principles. We have recommended in our Krishna consciousness movement that a devotee chant 16 rounds on beads daily and follow the regulative principles. That will help the devotee be fixed in his spiritual advancement in life. It is also stated in this verse that one can advance by controlling the senses, yame. By controlling the senses, one can become a swami or goswami. One who is therefore enjoying this super title, swami or goswami, must be very strict in controlling his senses. Indeed, he must be master of his senses. This is possible when one does not desire any material sense gratification. If by chance the senses want to work independently, he must control them. If we simply practice avoiding material sense gratification, controlling the senses is automatically achieved. Another important point mentioned in this connection is anindaya. We should not criticize others' methods of religion. There are different types of religious systems operating under different qualities of material nature. Those operating in the modes of ignorance and passion cannot be as perfect as that system in the mode of goodness. In Bhagavad Gita, everything has been divided into three qualitative divisions. Therefore, religious systems are similarly categorized. When people are mostly under the modes of passion and ignorance, their system of religion will be of the same quality. A devotee, instead of criticizing such systems, will encourage the followers to stick to their principles so that gradually they can come to the platform of religion in goodness. Simply by criticizing them, a devotee's mind will be agitated. Thus, a devotee should tolerate and learn to stop agitation. Another feature of the devotee is nirihaya, simple living. Niriha means gentle, meek, or simple. A devotee should not live very gorgeously and imitate a materialistic person. Plain living and high thinking are recommended for a devotee. He should accept only so much as he needs to keep the material body fit for the execution of devotional service. He should not eat or sleep more than is required. Simply eating for living and not living for eating and sleeping only 6 to 7 hours a day are principles to be followed by devotees. As long as the body is there, it is subjected to the influence of climatic changes, diseases, and natural disturbances, threefold miseries of material existence. We cannot avoid them. Sometimes we receive letters from neophyte devotees questioning why they have fallen sick, although pursuing Krishna consciousness. They should learn from this verse that they have to become tolerant. Dvandva titikshaya. This is the world of duality. One should not think that because he has fallen sick, he has fallen from Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness can continue without impediment from any material opposition. Lord Sri Krishna therefore advises in Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Tam Titikshava Bharat. My dear Arjun, please try to tolerate all these disturbances. Be fixed in your Krishna conscious activities. Om Agina Timirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakchu Unmilitam Nyena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swaha Padantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gourangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpat Rubhyascha Kripasindibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gorabhani Pucharine Nirvishesha Sunyabhari Paschatyadesha Charine Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chishe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhyadiva Chavishundaraya Tasmi Maha Prema Raspadaya Chitanya Chindai Namo Namaste. Chitanya Chindai Namo Namaste. Chitanya Chindai Namo Namaste. Chitanya Chindai Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. I apologize, my voice is a little hoarse this morning. So here's the translation again. A candidate for spiritual advancement must be nonviolent, must follow in the footsteps of great acharyas, must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must follow the regulated principles without material desire, and while following the regulated principles, should not blaspheme others. A devotee should lead a very simple life and not be disturbed by the duality of opposing elements. He should learn to tolerate them. Hare Krishna. So, this is one of the four Kumaras speaking. In particular, this is Sanat Kumara that's speaking. So, in the... the setting is this. Priti Maharaj has said wonderful things about devotees and also has asked a question. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the text before this, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 15, I'll read the translation. So this is Priti Maharaj asking the four Kumaras a question. So Priti Maharaj is saying, I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. So that's the question that Priti Maharaj was asking the four Kumaras. How we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life while in this material world. And then Sanat Kumara begins the response, and that's in Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 18. Sanat Kumara said, this is a translation, my dear King Prithu, I'm very nicely questioned by you. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities, especially because they are raised by you who are always thinking of the good of others. Although you know everything, you ask such questions because that is the behavior of saintly persons. Such intelligence is befitting your position. So this is the preface to the answering the question. First, Sanat Kumara is saying that Maharaj Prithu, to the hearing of everybody, has asked about how we can achieve the ultimate goal of life very soon while we're in this material world. And Sanat Kumara responds and saying, very nice question. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities because Krishna desires for all living entities to achieve the ultimate goal of life. That is Krishna consciousness. Now, the question, therefore, is beneficial for all living entities, and Sanat Kumara says, especially because they are raised by you, and you as a king are thinking of the good of others. Just like the sages in Naimisharanya, they also met for the good of others, to do yagyas. Maharaj Ambarish also went into fasting, even with his family, for the good of others. So saintly persons are always thinking about the good of others and what to do for the good of others. And when there's another saintly person around, they will ask for their input so that people in the material world can achieve the ultimate goal of life. So Sanat Kumara is praising Maharaj Prithu by saying, although you know everything, Prithu Maharaj is Shaktivesh avatar. He knows everything, but you ask such questions because that's the behavior of saintly persons. Such intelligence is befitting your position. Now, sometimes a personality, an important personality like Maharaj Prithu, would ask questions Sanat Kumara is saying that Maharaj did, because everybody realizes that also, those who are there and we who are reading and benefiting from it. But even in different situations, different emotional situations, still, pure devotees of the Lord will take the time or the opportunity to ask questions for the benefit of everyone. Arjun did that in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Arjun was in perplexity. He was confused. And he said, what am I supposed to do in this battlefield? But the whole Mahabharata was an unfoldment of different types of characters in a mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. The very types of modes that we are under in the material world. Arjuna did that in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, acting like an ordinary, bewildered man. Now, I wish everybody in the world was bewildered, because some people are thinking that they can, in fact, come up with solutions to live comfortably in this material world. Not possible. But many people think if we keep going on, especially, the biggest deception is the advancement in electronics. We say the biggest deception because it's caused people to think that electronics would give us solutions. There are people doing different things now, coming up with different types of gadgets, new gadgets, or electronically improving what we already have. And the idea is, it's faster, it's more convenient, it has more capability, therefore it will make us happy. One should not confuse convenience with happiness. And it's only partly convenient. We were able to make calls, but we need, some years back, decades back, we had to go to a payphone, and some people had phones in their house, and they weren't as fancy, touch screen like we do now. And then, so there have been improvement scientifically. There's no question about that. But have our lives improved? That is extremely debatable. So material advancement doesn't really solve a problem, because with every advancement that comes up, there are other challenges from one that's already there that's raised. We were talking about it yesterday. I was in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, a little bit, about a half hour from the Philadelphia Temple home program. And this came up, discussion at the end of the program. A few devotees were still gathered, and we were talking about four of us. And the point was made that, yes, technological advancement is going on, but with all of these, we know that one of the four defects of humans is to commit mistakes. So the more we advance, when a mistake happens, it's very, very grave. It's very consequential. It's usually a huge mistake, or it's a huge consequence. Maybe a small mistake, but because of the way things are wired, more people are affected. For example, we know now, it's very convenient for us to use cars. We can get from point A to point B very quickly. If you look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya says, go from this town to this town. Immediately, the pure devotee that's obeying it is set off and they walk on foot. It will take some days to get there. You can drive a car, it takes a few hours or even less than an hour to get to that same place, from one point to another. So it's quicker, no question about it. But let there be one accident. The entire highway is blocked. People are put through very, very, very horrible inconvenience. Every day when you hear the news, some highway or some street, there's an accident, and not to mention the injuries and so on, which obviously if you are walking, you won't have that type of injury. But a car would give you that type of injury. Or sometimes even take your life. Something that walking won't do for you. So walking is longer, but driving a car, even though it's shorter, has its other side. So everything that we do, there's another side of it that's very inconvenient. That is now happening to us because that new product in science has been put out and is now being sold. So there is no winning. You can't win in the material world. Everything you do, something would be difficult. Some difficulty would come. So the only way out is be in a place where there's no anxiety and everything is set up perfectly. And that is the spiritual world. Anyway, so Maharaj Prithu was asking the four Kumaras how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. And in today's text, this is a continuation of the response by Sanat Kumara to Maharaj Prithu's question. Today, it's wonderful. It's the last day of the year 2019. And what advice, what a wonderful advice Sanat Kumara is giving us. So the translation again is a candidate for spiritual advancement. First, nonviolence. Then they must follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. Then they must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They must also follow regulative principles without any material desire. And while doing that, they shouldn't offend others. They should not blaspheme others. Devotees should lead a very simple life and not be disturbed by the duality, opposing elements, in the yin and the yang, duality of opposing elements. He should learn to tolerate them. So when you hear all of this as advice from Sanat Kumara and you add chanting to it, that's it. That is a devotee. The qualities are written there. It's written for us to read. A candidate for spiritual advancement. Nonviolence. Following the footsteps of great acharyas, which is also said in the Nectar of Instruction, following the footsteps of great acharyas, that's where we learn what they do. To remember the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Must follow regulated principles without material desire. We should be desireless as far as material aspect of life is concerned. And be careful not to commit aparads. One should not blaspheme others. That also is the very first of the 10 offenses for following chanting the holy name that we should be aware of. Blaspheme devotees shouldn't. Then simplicity. We've already talked about one example that when we try to advance in science, that we also face different situations that are negative that wouldn't have been there if that advancement, so-called advancement, had not been put in place and made a part of our lives. Devotees should lead a very simple life. And understand, like winter and summer, duality of opposing elements, they come, you should learn to tolerate them. So this is wonderful. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada spends quite a bit of time our devotee must be tolerant and very much compassionate towards others. Tolerate troubles that come to us, but be ready to help others. In other words, when we live our lives for the welfare of others, Krishna is so pleased, he takes care of the welfare of our own lives. So the secret to advancing in spiritual life is to be ready to serve others, especially serving devotees. Very important, serving devotees, serving Guru, and serving Krishna. But the first is to serve devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada says, if a devotee suffers personal injury themselves, they should tolerate it. But if someone else suffers, they should be there to help, not just tolerate, or worse, ignore it. So, Srila Prabhupada says, the world is full of violence, and we don't need too many examples to prove that. A devotee's first business is stop this violence. Animals are being slaughtered, and it's absolutely horrible. Now, people are putting videos out of animal slaughter in slaughterhouses. Some people have, of course, it's not too pervading yet. But a few people have seen the cruelty done to animals, especially the cow, in the slaughterhouses, and made the decision not to eat meat again based on what they've seen and how it's affected them. Well, now that's good. It's good. But actually, meat eating is not part of our diet for a person. It's in, not just in our Shastra, but in the Holy Bible, it's there in Genesis 1:29. Chapter 1, text 29, it says clearly. So it's not part of our diet. Whether the animal is killed violently or not, we actually aren't supposed to. And I remember one time, a while back in the 90s, teaching in a community college. I just started Krishna Consciousness, and I was teaching chemistry, but somehow I was looking for a way to just infuse something, bring something up that would help my students. And so the idea of vegetarianism somehow got segued into the teaching, and I brought it up. And this is a class of about 30 students. And I got opposition right away by the meat eaters. What do you mean we shouldn't eat meat? Yeah, other people, it's saying that we get our nutrition from meat and this and this and this. Vegetarianism won't give the proper balance of nutrients. It's the same story that's said over and over and over again, even though that is not true. So, and those who are meat eaters were getting quite louder, you know, just it became quite a debate in the classroom for a while. And I didn't stop it. And when the students got up and said, well, I work at a mortuary. So when somebody dies, sometimes they would do an autopsy. And in the autopsy process involves cutting up the corpse. And he said, in all these times that I've done this, every time that we have to examine the small intestine is quite long, it's, you know, just bundled together in the tummy area. That meat eaters, when you open the corpse of a meat eater, the small intestine has, it's like years and years and years of meat that's stuck in the small intestine. Now, the small intestine is the area where the food comes from the stomach, and then the nutrients, it gets the small intestine first, the nutrients that's supposed to nourish the body from the food, that's where it gets put into the body, basically. And then the rest of them goes to the large intestine, and then, you know, we get rid of it later. So the small intestine for meat eaters says there's so much stuff, meat, you know, pieces of it and all, it's just piled in there for years and years and years. You don't see that in a vegetarian person's small intestine. But for a meat eater, it's there. And so he made my case for me. When he said that, everybody kept quiet. The case was won that way. But whether people would change to vegetarianism, that's up to them. But that guy, by Krishna's mercy, got up and put it out. He says, I have seen it over and over and over again. So the small intestine is evidence that we're not supposed to eat meat. Anyway, and Srila Prabhupada said, the world is full of violence. A person's first business, a devotee's first business, is to stop the unnecessary slaughter of animals. So we can go on a campaign like that, including those who just simply don't like animals being destroyed like that. Even though they're not spiritual, they could also join, because the end is still the same. A devotee is a friend not only of human society, but of all living entities. The Srila Prabhupada sometimes makes a statement I've heard in some lectures that we tend to think, you know, because we are in human bodies, we tend to think Krishna is our wonderful friend, he's our master, and so many, you know, relationships that we are supposed to serve him, the nine processes. And we forget that there are more bodies that are not human. And Krishna takes care of them too. So Krishna is not a friend for human society alone, but he's also a friend of the trees and the insects and the fish and all of that. And the birds. He's a friend of all of them. They all depend on him. So, Srila Prabhupada says, all entities should be seen as sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, a devotee doesn't claim himself to be the only son of God, or that the humans are the only ones, and therefore, well, the others are worse, like they say, they have no soul, the other animals, therefore, then they are to be killed, allowing them to be killed just because they want to eat the flesh. Never ever do we support this. Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada continues, he says he is the father of all species. Therefore, a devotee who is serving Krishna properly should naturally be a friend of all entities. And this is called ahimsa. As Jat Bharat, gave an example when he was, showed by his example, when he was asked to join in the palanquin carrying of Maharaj Rahugan, and when he was carrying the palanquin and he saw ants crossing the road, they have souls just like we do have souls, and the ant, a devotee is supposed to be the friend of all living entities. Therefore, he did not willfully step on any of them. He did not want to. And therefore, he slowed down while the others were walking. And that tilted the palanquin, and Maharaj Rahugan began to feel very uncomfortable and questioned why they were doing this and disturbing him. And the other three claimed that it was this fourth person, who was Jat Bharat, that is actually not walking in sync with everybody. Jat Bharat, it was a whole story. Maharaj Rahugan finally found out how highly elevated Jat Bharat was, and Jat Bharat gave spiritual advice to the king. But the point was, though, that Jat Bharat was being very, very compassionate towards all living entities, including the ants at the time, the insects. So, this is called ahimsa, nonviolence. So, Srila Prabhupada also makes a point that trying to advance in spiritual life outside the disciplic succession is simply ludicrous. The disciplic succession are the ones that teach us how to live life so that we can follow their footsteps. Not only that, when we hear from them, we connect with them. Hearing is not just hearing only. Hearing is another way of serving. It's actually another way of serving. So, and that's there, as we know, in the nine processes, it says hearing and chanting. So it's also part of service. Now, so to advance in spiritual life, the Prabhupada says, outside the disciplic succession is simply ludicrous. It's not possible to do it. To advance in spiritual life or to stay in spiritual life without sadhu sangha is also the wrong thing to do. We have to be associating with devotees, because Maya is always trying to come up with ways to keep us from advancing spiritually. But devotees are the ones that remind us, because by just, associating with us and doing what they do, because that's what we're supposed to do, they keep us in the process rather than getting out of the process. So one cannot be on their own, be the judge, be the prosecutor, being the jury of everything that happens in their lives, because Maya is far too smart for that. If we do not associate, it's going to be difficult for us to be successful in our spiritual lives. But importantly is that chain of disciplic successions, the spiritual masters, acharyas, they are representatives of Krishna, and therefore Krishna gives his messages to us through them. So then, tad vigyanatam sa gurum evivache. One must understand the transcendental science through a bona fide spiritual master. So, as we're talking about, I mentioned yesterday, it was a program in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. This came up where one of the devotees that were there, actually they're all beginners, which is even wonderful, that they are, you know, taking out the Krishna consciousness. And the question came up, well, this one person said, get guidance from a spiritual master. And the question came up, how do you know the spiritual master is a reliable person to get guidance from? And everybody was just all wanting to know what the answer would be. And so this person, and he'd just been initiated just months ago, explained it wonderfully, the long way, but explained it wonderfully in the end. And so then after that, I chimed in. I was the one actually that was the main speaker. So I said, Prabhu, you explained it wonderfully. In the Shastra, it's described that we have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So the Guru is the guide you're talking about, spiritual master. Now, his behavior must be consistent with what is written in the scriptures. It should be consistent. Not only should he preach from the scriptures, but his behavior must also, and his activities, must be consistent. And when the saints are also practicing the same, in other words, you hear from this particular spiritual master who is practicing what's in the scriptures and speaks from the scriptures and does not speculate, and along with what he says, the devotees are also doing the same, the advanced devotees are doing the same, then you know you're in the right place. And you need to be listening to that particular spiritual master. So that is our system of checks and balances, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So that was explained like that to him and the rest that were there who were quite satisfied with that. So it's very important we get our instructions from the bona fide spiritual master. He's also the, as we says, transparent by medium. Srila Prabhupada has given an example about that, an analogy, that on our own, we cannot see things as they are. But through their charges, we can see things as they are, because they know things as they are, and they teach us in that way. So it's like that charger is a set of glasses. A person can't see without them. But once you put them on, then you look through them, then everything is clear. And that's the analogy that Srila Prabhupada gave. So the spiritual master plays several roles, and one of them is to make things clear. Just like when one wears glasses that doesn't have good eyesight, that they can see clearly with that. So Srila Prabhupada also talks about smritya, remembering Krishna. That we should mold our life in such a way that we cannot remain alone without thinking of Krishna at all times. Srila Rupa Goswami also said, do that. Think of Krishna always and never forget Krishna. We should live, Sri Prabhupada says, literally, eat, sleep, walk, work, Krishna. In everything we do, we should be thinking of Krishna. Chanting Krishna's name is an easy way to remember Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we should use, just like Maharaj Amrish did, we should use as many of our senses as possible based on time, place, and circumstance to remember Krishna. In our workplace, we can have pictures that remind us of Krishna. If it's allowed, we should definitely do that. If it's allowed that we can do our work while listening to something else, that something else should be about Krishna. Kirtan, bhajan, lecture, if that's allowed. If that's not allowed, say to have pictures in your office, but the computer is there and you use the computer, put a picture of Krishna or your spiritual master, someone that would remind, or some scene that would remind you of Krishna, there. So every time, definitely at home you should. Every time your computer opens up, it's not the, you know, the kami way of pictures in the front, but it's something that reminds you of Krishna right away. That way, when we see, then the subconscious registers, yes, this is about Krishna. This is about devotees of Krishna. And that way, we are, in fact, thinking of Krishna those times. When we're eating, well, we're eating Krishna Prasad. Sometimes in the temples, a wonderful activity takes place where devotees are eating and one devotee takes on the service while everybody's eating of reading from either Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, or one of the wonderful spiritual books. Not only does it make everybody that's, and usually we see when that's going on, everybody's quiet. Therefore, Prajapa is out the door automatically. No gossiping, because everybody is hearing what the person that's speaking is talking about. And I know a few times I was asked by my spiritual master, Bhakti Theda Maharaj, and he does other devotees do the same thing, that in his room, when he's actually doing some activities, and it's different kinds of things, all for, you know, in Krishna consciousness, where he's actually using his hands to do something in the room, and so he's not reading, he will have a devotee come in and say, okay, well, this part of Bhagavatam, read it. So now while he is doing what he's doing, then someone is reading also. Of course, we can do that also. All we do is just have one of the gadgets, you know, that plays, you know, just a recording. You just hear like that. That is also very, very, very good. So eating, sleeping, walking. When you walk, we can chant the holy name. When we work, we can have the bhajans in the background, or, you know, in place, some places they allow you to play music. You have a small player in your office, and you tune down volume, and then you do that. But then you can, you know, listen to Krishna conscious music, bhajans, kirtans, while you do work. So we have to come up with different ways in which we can hear and remember Krishna all day. So you can put pictures in strategic places like that. So so remembrance of the Lord, it can be continued when we hear about him constantly. It's very, very, very important. Constantly is the key word here. Not sometimes and sometimes not. So Srila Prabhupada says, to hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, or Bhagavad Gita, or similar authentic literature, is to live in Krishna consciousness. So subtly we connect like that in Krishna consciousness just by hearing. Now, another important point that Sanat Kumara mentioned, and Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is giving purport, is anindaya. We should not criticize others' methods of religion. The fourth offense in the 10 offenses is to blaspheme Vedic literature and literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Literature in pursuance of the Vedic version has been explained. That is literature from the other religions. They also talk about God, but not at the transcendental level. That does not mean that they're not talking about God. They're talking about God mostly in the mode of goodness. But sometimes they are, you know, as the not only Bible, but some others get written in different versions, then sometimes passion and ignorance may creep in some sections of it. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. There are different types of religious systems operating under different qualities of material nature. These that operate somehow in the mixture of ignorance, passion, and goodness, they can't be as perfect as the system totally in the mode of goodness. Our scripture is not only in the mode of goodness, but also in it's transcendental. So we're most fortunate when a person reads that and, you know, abides by that, then they are actually living the type of life that will get us out of the material world, to achieve the ultimate goal of life. So, a devotee, Srila Prabhupada says, instead of criticizing such systems, will encourage the followers to stick to their principles so that they can gradually come to the platform of religion in goodness. So, it's very, very important that we have so much more to talk about to those who are non-devotees, but who are religious, to open their eyes more to the truth, the higher truths that they are missing. So rather than say, oh, this religion, they don't have this, they don't have that, they don't have this. Yes, we are aware of it, but we should provide the solution by bringing up those parts of Krishna consciousness that they don't have in your books. So simply by criticizing them, we'll get a reaction. Srila Prabhupada says a devotee's mind will be agitated if you do that. Because we're not supposed to criticize. We see the good in that, pull that, add more from our scriptures and our lifestyle so that the persons hearing that are religious will be more excited about their religion, go up higher, and if they want to be involved in Krishna consciousness, that's also good. But we never force them to do that. So by criticizing that type of literature, a devotee's mind will be agitated. Therefore, a devotee should tolerate and learn to stop agitation. We shouldn't criticize. We should actually help. I remember this past summer, we set up in Harrisburg area. There was a festival, and devotees set up for book distribution. And we had four well-meaning men with their Bibles came. They came to basically tell us that we were devil worshippers because they didn't understand what Krishna consciousness was about. And some of us, having had a Christian background before coming to Krishna consciousness, knew some things in the Bible enough to just explain things to them. And first of all, we had to praise them about what they know in the Bible. And many Christians are saying that without the blood of Jesus, if we don't get saved by the blood of Jesus, then we're going to hell. And that's what they think. That's what they believe. You know, the religion has a way of making people very convinced that changing their minds is next to impossible. But anyway, we'll just quietly tell them that we have a different opinion of that. God is Krishna, but we're not knocking what you're talking about. Just agree that this is a situation that we're not going to be able to resolve. So let's just agree to disagree on that. We just go to a gentleman's way of saying it. Usually, those who are not too fanatic, they will leave it at that. In other words, it's just telling them, you can't change my mind about what I think, and I know I won't be able to change your mind about what you think, and since you're so convinced that it has to be Jesus, the only way, therefore, without following Jesus, you can't get anywhere. In the meantime, they're thinking about going to heavenly planet, and they think that's the only thing. So they tell them there's a spiritual world. They don't know the existence of a spiritual world. So we have to understand, this is what they are thinking about. And it is true that a person that follows Jesus' teachings will in fact join him in a heavenly planet. That is true. But when they join him in a heavenly planet, as my Guru Maharaj explained to him, when they join the Lord, Lord Jesus will then, that will be those who followed his teachings. Those who don't follow his teachings won't get to be with them, even though they may call themselves Christian. But then he will start talking to them about what Srila Prabhupada has been teaching us now. They will start transcendence then, but in a more, in a less challenging atmosphere, because, heavenly planet, there's much better situation, peaceful situation relatively peaceful situation compared to what's here. So that's what they're going to get. But the heavenly planet is one thing about it. Nobody should really think in terms of going that route, that if you know about Krishna consciousness already, to go to Jesus in the heavenly planet, because the numbers simply don't add up. And here's why. Yes, they will get help in Krishna consciousness then from the Lord Jesus. But you know what it is like in the heavenly planet. It's wonderful, and the lifespan is very long. It runs into the millions of years. So being in a heavenly planet millions of years, compared to a devotee being here on this earth where in Kali Yuga, the lifespan is only 100 years. If a devotee is even unsuccessful the first attempt going back to Godhead, and they get born as a devotee, they continue, and say the second time they are unsuccessful, and they get born here to continue a third time. How many years is that? 300 years? 400 years? You know, compared to adding a few years they spent on the other side before they got born again, at most 500 years? And that person is gone to the spiritual world. In the meantime, a person that was Christian is with Lord Jesus, living a few million years. And the devotee is long gone. Gone to the spiritual world after about 500 years. Not to speak of even those who would work hard this time in Christian consciousness and qualify to go after, you know, less than 100 years, go back to the spiritual world. So yes, Christianity, if you take it seriously, will ultimately get the transcendental information given to you in the heavenly planet by Lord Jesus. But how long does that take? It's like a very long detour, millions of years long detour, but in a few hundred years, you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So the time factor alone is a waste of time to actually go through this, the Christianity. And that's why, you know, Christians saying, they don't teach transcendence now. Sarvadharma parityaja, mamekam sharanam bhaja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami mascha. Abandon all varieties of religion. Even though Krishna knows that they talk about God, but it's not transcendental and it doesn't get you out of the material world. At best, it goes to the higher planet, as Jesus is talking about, heavenly planet. But the heavenly planet is also part of the suffering condition that we have here. It's just less suffering, relatively. So one goes through that and they waste their time. They waste their time. They can be with Jesus, but they'll be with Jesus for a very long, long, long time. That is Jesus' own mercy, given to people who don't want to live a transcendental life, who don't want to disconnect, to go through renunciation. They don't want to do that, and therefore they don't get that high teachings. But the Lord Jesus said, all right, well, you come to me, and when you get away from all of these distractions, then I will teach you transcendence, and then you can go back to Godhead. So yeah, it is a way to go back to Godhead, but what a long way to go back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada also says, one should not overdo it in terms of their lifestyle. You should not eat or sleep more than required. He's saying, Srila Prabhupada is suggesting 6 to 7 hours a day for the body to get well rested. Of course, there are going to be a few exceptions here and there based on the state of the body. Okay, it's always time, place, and circumstance, but generally 6 to 7 hours a day of sleeping is good. So, and then finally we should tolerate. There are disease, natural disturbances, climatic changes. This is all part of the threefold miseries of material existence. Actually, when a devotee is growing, they realize that these things aren't as disturbing as the mind itself. The biggest saboteur is our own minds. So that we have to be very, very, very careful when Maya tries to put negativity, suggest negativity, things that are against the principles, that we should be ready to counteract them. We counter-suggest. Don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do. Because intelligence will help us to counter-suggest and therefore not fall into the traps of Maya. So we should be tolerant. As Krishna says, Srila Prabhupada quotes in the end, Bhagavad Gita 2:14, my dear Arjun, please try to tolerate all these disturbances and be fixed in your Krishna conscious activities. So this is a wonderful piece of advice that Sanat Kumara gives us in this text. Candidate for spiritual advancement must be nonviolent, must follow the footsteps of great acharyas, and therefore how to learn how to live Krishna consciousness properly by being like an apprentice for them, learning as they are doing. Always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Follow regulative principles without material desire. Don't blaspheme others. Live a simple life and be tolerant of the material world, because the yin and yang is there. The duality of opposing elements, just tolerate them, because after a short while, we get to go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. and opened up for questions. The last thing I talked about was, in fact, the translation. Therefore, I wouldn't go over the translation again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So now we can unmute our phones and ask questions. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Guru's mercy. Jai. Are there any... Okay, are there any questions? Okay, well, that's also good. I wish everybody a wonderful year in 2020. And by the way, you can interrupt as I'm speaking now, and if you have a question or even a comment, you can do that. But Sanat Kumara has given us a wonderful way to welcome this year. A devotee, spiritual advancement means nearer and nearer to a situation where we earn the mercy of the Lord to go back to the spiritual world. And nonviolence, following the great steps, footsteps of great acharyas, remembering the pastimes of the Lord and speaking about them, following regulated principles without material desire, renouncing material things, only taking those that are necessary for us. And by the way, if by karma one becomes quite wealthy and has a lot of things available, that is, you know, in the Shastra, it's also there. Pundarik Vidyaniti, he had a lot, but his mind, Swayambhuva Manu, same thing. Their minds were on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever they had, they used it in serving Krishna. So a poor person can use, a rich person can use, as long as what they have, their main idea is how to use it to serve Krishna's devotees. So that's there. So we should not, by following the, why we're following the regulated principle, we shouldn't blaspheme others. We should live a simple life. So even when you're wealthy, but mentally you're not attached to wealth, but you use it only for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead as much as possible, then you are living a simple life. Even though the items are there, but you're not attached to them. And be tolerant of the way it is here, the duality of opposing elements, so tolerate. And that is it. Chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Okay, so any last questions or comments? Okay. So I suppose we can stop here now.
Yes, Prabhu. Okay. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you. Happy New Year to everybody. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Oh, glorious assembly of devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Wonderful New Year, Krishna consciousness for everybody. Wish that very much in my heart. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna.